I'm excited about this message. Three things I know. You know, Chuck was telling me before service about his incident with talking to a guy that he said is a Muslim guy. So, you know, we all started saying God. And, you know, Chuck was very honest. How many of us, if we would listen to someone, might be challenged as well to say, We have to be very careful about that, don't we? Here's what I told Chuck. Here's our defense against those that say we started saying God. Here's what we should say. Do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord? Well, do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord? If there's any other answer, then they don't start a saying God. It's that simple. Because we can't separate Jesus from God. He was God in the flesh. He is God. And the Bible says no man can come to God but through him. So that's what separates us. No. Because the Islamic faith doesn't teach Jesus as Lord. They teach he was a prophet, a teacher. They believe he's real, but don't teach he was God. So there's our big difference. So do not be deceived. Place your faith in Christ. I love what our sign says. Shirley put up there. Anybody read a sign this morning? Be honest. Melanie did. Anybody else? Two people. Anybody else? Three, four. Okay. We got that big old sign on the road. I think we'll put it in the middle, Jennings. That way y'all have to go around it to turn to the church. Do you see the sign? But the sign says, what is it? All my hope in Christ alone is all my hope. No, don't say that. Oh, okay. Thank you, Melanie. I did read it, but anyway. So in all, what did it say again? In Christ alone, all my hope is found. And that is the truth. Oh, okay, whatever. Oh, anyway. But all of our hope is found in Christ, so to speak. And that's where our faith is at, is in Christ. So, three things I know. We're going to get into Scripture. Turn to Ephesians first, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start there. And you're going to go to the next slide there, Jeremy. Number one, this I know. What does that say on the screen? Our past is forgiven. Now, I want to talk, because, see, the gospel is all about good news. You know, it's amazing how we've heard that preach our whole lives, how the gospel is the good news, but how so many churches, you feel worse when you leave than when you come in. It ain't such good news, is it? It's like, Jesus loves you, but he's going to look at you like that if you do something wrong. Arrgh! Like a pirate with a hook in his hand, ready just to devour you. Gee, that's not very good news. That's kind of scary news. I don't want my Jesus to be a pirate. I want him to be who he says he was. Love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. So we have to understand the first thing. We'll give you scriptures here to back this up. Our past is forgiven. Let's read scriptures. Ephesians 1, verse 6 says this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. How do we have redemption? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Leave it on that screen, Jeremy. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches in grace. And I'm going to say something very profound that many of us, and I've just determined this. I know where God has me. I know what he's placed me to preach, so I'm going to preach it with all that I have. Some won't receive this, and that's okay, because I've learned that it's 50-50 whatever I preach. So I'm going to make sure I preach truth. It's kind of like you go to a ball game, right? You got 50 cheering for this team, 50 for that team. It's kind of how it is in church. You got half that'll believe it, half that kind of, I don't know, scratch their heads. When we're talking about forgiveness of sins, I want to make this very clear. And this has not been taught a lot because man's gotten their hands in the Word and tried to mess it up instead of really honoring what. And in church, when we read these scriptures, there should be no doubt in our minds reading God's Word. This is God's Word. This is not made up. This isn't for you religious old-timey folks. This is the King James Version I'm reading out of, okay? This is the original what you think is the Word of God. King James Version. The forgiveness of sins. Here's what I want to make a point on this verse. Do you realize that we walk, as a Christian, we walk in the state of forgiveness. We don't get forgiven over and over and over. I understand when we do stuff wrong, we say, God, you know, I know I messed up. But I'm talking about Jesus died one time. One time. He died once that we could live in a state of forgiveness. He doesn't have to die again. The Bible is clear in Hebrews. He went in once in the holy place, one time for all, to obtain our eternal redemption. Here's the problem that many of us have. I mean, some of you know, and this is kind of, I'm saying it jokingly, but some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been saved 42 times. You know what I'm saying? You've been saved 42 times in your journey. Jesus died once for the forgiveness of our sin. The sin nature separated us from God. We couldn't obtain His glory. He stepped in time, shed His precious blood on the cross, and clear about placing our faith in Him. If our faith is in what He has accomplished for us, church, we are forgiven. We're still going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're not forgiven because we mess up. We mess up after we're saved. There's nobody that holy that doesn't mess up after we're saved. And so understand, if we can learn to know my past is truly forgiven, I walk in a state of forgiveness. You know, Angela described it one time a few years ago very clearly. It was a great, I've never forgot, it was a great visual. The blood of Jesus, we tend to think of the blood of Jesus being a one-time offering 2,000 years ago. His blood was spilled. Yes, it was. But that blood continues to run like a river. And if we are covered by His blood, our faith is in Christ alone, guess what? That blood continually keeps us clean. Continually keeps us clean. But see, we've been taught so much condemnation, so much judgment, so much you got to do this. There's none of us can do anything to obtain salvation. Because it's not about our works that get us there. It's about what we're reading right here. We have redemption. It doesn't say we have redemption through our works, through our holy living, through the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we do. It says we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That blood was spilt that we could be in a state of forgiveness, that the judgment that once was owed us no longer is on us, but been removed, that we can rest assured that our hope is in Christ alone. And because of that, I am forgiven. I'm forgiven. I know this stretches the minds of many, especially, you know, I was raised with Pentecostal roots. I was raised with that as my foundation. I'm thankful for that because I believe in all the spiritual gifts. I believe in, the intimacy of God's presence. I believe in feeling God's presence. I believe in the gift of tongues. I believe in all those things. But a lot of that foundation also had a lot of works involved, a lot of stuff that you had to do. Well, Jesus did it for you. Do you understand that? Jesus alone, that's what makes Him so special, is He took away our sins and nailed them on the cross and said, what you couldn't do, I'm going to do. I'll take the 39 whips for you. I'll take the scorning and the rebuking and the cursing and the swearing upon. I'll be the one that endures 3 hours of earthly darkness so all your wrath could be poured upon me, so I could declare you righteous in the eyes of my Father. Hallelujah. That's walking in forgiveness. But the religious folks won't tell you that. They'll say, oh man, no, be saved, boy, you better be doing that. Well, if I'm doing that, then why did Jesus do what He did? If I'm doing that, why did Christ? It don't make any sense. Let's go to the next scripture. This is chapter 2, same book, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You hath He quickened, that means He's made alive, those of you that were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, talking about the enemy, the devil's influence, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, which means behavior, conduct, all that, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, look at this, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were by nature evil and nasty and bad. I've said it many times. You do not have to, you can ask Kayla and you can ask Dee. She's not here this morning because little Hudson's sick. But either one of them young mamas, you can ask. Do you ever see the devil come out of Tay? And do you see the devil come out of Maverick? Do you ever see the devil? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You see the devil come out of the little kids. They start wanting to hit things and say bad things and tell their mama, no, I'm not doing that. No. I don't think Kayla's ever talked Tay. Now, when you get mad, you tell your mama, no, I'm not doing that. That just automatically comes out because the nature of sin. So Paul is saying, we were, notice it says we were, past tense, by nature, the children of wrath as others. But God, everybody say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins. So for those of you who say, oh, God don't love the sinner, right here. Even when we were dead in our sins, he hath made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. And what does the next part say? Y'all read it out loud. What does the last part of that verse say? By grace are you saved. Grace are you saved. You are dead in your trespasses. You didn't deserve the glory of heaven. None of us do. And Melanie talked about how sweet I was, and I can't argue that. Truth is truth. But I will tell you this. I still am not sweet enough to go to heaven. And I am not good enough to see God's face on my own merit. And there's nothing I could do, nothing I could say. I could shout, speak in tongues, and fast till I die. And it would not be enough to enter the gates of the kingdom of God apart from placing my faith in the Lamb of God that was slain for my sins. That's the good news, which means this. It takes all the pressure and works off of our life, and we can put all of our energy into serving the one who died for us. So many Christians spend so much of their life trying to earn something they can't earn, keep something they can't keep, whenever we could just be living our lives in the freedom of what Jesus has set us free to do, and that's to serve him. We can tell others, look, because I hear this all the time. You probably hear it all the time. You know, people tell me all the time, Pastor, I can't come to church. I ain't living right. Who is? Who is? When I get my life straightened out, I'll get in church. Look, you're never going to be the point. I've had people tell me, say, well, and I want to preach. I want to do this, but my life ain't right. So you know what? I can't preach till everything's in order. You'll never preach. You'll never teach, you'll never sing, you'll never serve God if you try to wait till your life's all in order, because it never will be. We are human beings. We have weaknesses. We have failures. But we must understand the good news is this, that if our faith in Jesus Christ, our past is forgiven. And not only that, but we walk from that point on in a state of forgiveness as his child. See, I become a child of God at my new birth. When I called upon the Lord to be my Lord and Savior, he washed away my sin, that sin nature. He came to be my Lord and Savior, and from that point on, I became his child. He doesn't unchild me. I mean, I know sometimes, you know, with our children, we always love them, and they're always our children. They do things that disappoint us. They do things that hurt us. They do things we don't agree with, but they're always our child, just as we are always God's child. And so we walk in that state of forgiveness. I want to think about it this way. There would have to be more than one offering of the blood of Jesus if every sin I did cast me into hell. There had to be more than one offering. Remember what the Bible says in Hebrews? The high priest brought their daily offerings, their yearly offerings, and they could never take away sin. But Christ went in once and for all to obtain that eternal redemption. That blood was spilt one time, and it was enough. Oh my God. This was a one-time offering that settled and fulfilled the law that we couldn't fulfill. It paid that debt. The law had to be fulfilled because the law was established by God. The law couldn't just go away. Oh, my bad. Oops, no law no more. I'll just get rid of it. It had to still be fulfilled. God established it. We couldn't fulfill it. Churches for years have tried to fulfill the law. The churches think they're holier than others because they do certain things. And I'm holier church because I do this. I'm a holier Christian because I do this. No, holiness, as we sung a while ago, is Christ in you. That's where holiness comes. It's Christ living inside of you, washing away your sins. Because there is not enough holiness within our flesh to see the glory of God. Because guess what? We're still unholy as well. We may shout, look holy on Sunday, but man, I've heard some of your stuff, and I see some of your Facebook posts on Monday. Holiness? You really want to go there? Holiness? I mean, sometimes that language comes out. Sometimes we may do something we shouldn't do or say something we shouldn't do or think something we shouldn't think. So if we really want to get into that tic-tac kind of method and go for it. But praise God, I'm glad that when I get the pearly gate, so to speak, that there's not a scroll rolled out where Peter's saying, okay, James, let's see what good you did. Let's see what bad you did. Because I'll be holding my breath saying, just go ahead and push the down button. I know I did more bad than good. I'm done for. Let me get my sunscreen 65 SP, whatever. I'm gone. Just shoot me down. I'm gone. Thank God I can stand in this life with boldness, declaring Jesus as my Lord, saying, Lord, you are able to keep that which I committed to you against that day. You are with me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. I am yours. I've been reconciled. I've been justified. I've been sanctified, not by what I do, but by what you did. I've been justified, not by what I do, but what you did. I've been glorified, not by what I do, but by what you did. And my redemption is not because of what I did, but because of who you are, the Lamb of God, full of glory and honor and truth. That's who we serve. That's why we can say our past is forgiven. That's good news, church. Y'all don't want good news this morning. That's okay. Look at verse 8. For by grace, I mean, church, if y'all want to try to get there on your own, not me. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm trusting what he did for me is enough. For by grace, here it is again, are you saved? How? Through faith. Not through works. Not through jumping all the religious hoops. You are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Hallelujah. It's not of ourselves that any salvation is birthed. It's only through faith in Christ alone that we have a new experience. We place our belief that Jesus, yes, you are who you said you are. You are God in the flesh. You came to redeem mankind. You are the perfect Lamb, sinless, but yet took on my sin that I could become the righteous of God. You died, like the word says, but you rose again 3 days later. You walked the earth for 40 days, and you ascended back into the heavens. And Lord, you sent back the Holy Ghost in that upper room to fill mankind, and you have a kingdom you have established that all of us one day will walk into that place, our faith in you. That I believe in. That is the good news. So trust that. Go to the next thing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And don't we have a lot of that going on among religion, you know, boasting about what they've accomplished, who they are, what they've done, blah, 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 blah. Especially when people get in a position of power, authority, you know, blah, 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 blah. Look, I've told you this from the time we started this church. I stay in the Word of God. I don't try to indoctrinate James Lewis' teaching. I really preach God's Word from His Word. And don't ever just leave here so mind blank that you just accept everything I say as truth without God confirming it in your spirit. I believe that. Let God confirm that inside. Let His Word confirm that. And if I'm wrong or in error, I can eat some crow. I've ate crow many years. I've been married 23 years. I ate a lot of crow. I know how to eat crow. And I'll be the first one to say, you know what? I was in error. I was wrong. I'm not too proud to admit that. But don't be too proud to accept when truth comes either. You know, just because we've heard something 40 years of our lives don't mean it's truth. I mean, you know the old joke I said before where the granddaughter's in the kitchen with her grandmother at Christmas, her great-grandmother, and says, great-grandmother says, why do you cut part of the roast off and only use part of it? She goes, well, I don't know. My mama always did that. Go ask my mama. Hey, mama, grandma, you know, why do you cut part of the roast off and don't use the rest of it? She says, well, that's because my mama always did it. Go ask my mama. So, you know, four generations here. She's fine. Go to great-grandma. Great-grandma says, you and mama and my, you know, what, everybody cuts the part of the roast off and don't use it and just use a part of it. Why do you always cut part of your roast off and use it? You know what she said? Because the only size pot I had it would fit in. So that passed down from generation to generation. I mean, for 40 years, I've been cutting part of the roast off and even know why. How many of us live our spiritual lives just believing something we've always heard and thinking it's truth without really finding out, is that truth? See, when I first started this ministry, I was conflicted a little bit. When I first started the church, I said, Lord, I need to know about this salvation thing. Because I was, you know, kind of raised and taught in a way that, you know, I could lose any moment. I wasn't real secure in it. I'm like, Lord, and something started not making sense. I'm like, I read all these scriptures about your grace, about your blood, about who you are, but yet I kind of hear a message, if I don't walk the line, I could be lost. I don't understand. Speak to me, God. And he spoke so clearly to me and said these words. Says, you weren't saved by your good works. You can't be unsaved by your bad works. And when he spoke that to me clearly, it gave me the revelation, yes, Lord, I see it and I hear it and I understand it. And that's what I'll teach and that's what I'll preach. I'm not teaching abandoned, reckless living. Understand that. But a person that has placed their faith in Christ and has a new birth experience does not have a desire to live an abandoned, reckless, sinful life. It doesn't work that way. So I want to be very clear. We're not issuing a license to do what you want because you're under grace. When you're under grace, it changes your direction. It changes how you live. It changes what you want to say and what you want to present to the world. It changes because you realize, my God, you did this for me. You love me so much that you changed my destiny. It causes us to want to serve God in a deeper, intimate way. We understand what he did for us. Verse 23, this may shock some of you. All have sinned. Sorry, Miss Sharon. That means you too. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and all have come short, which means I couldn't touch God because of my sin. Next scripture. But look what it says. I've been justified, which means declared righteous. Justified means I've been declared righteous. Wow. Freely. Once again, how? How have I been declared righteous? By his grace, God's grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I've been declared righteous freely, no cost to me, by the grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the last verse for that category, right? That is how, number one, I know my past is forgiven. And there's many, many more. I mean, church, I could be here 3 hours reading verses about forgiveness and grace. I mean, just reading the verse could take 3 hours. There's tons of them. I picked out just a few key ones here. Freely justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So number one, if you are a Christian, you can take this to the bank. Your past is forgiven. Quit living like you're not forgiven. Quit living in condemnation. Quit living in shame. Quit living in confusion. Quit living in everybody dragging you down because you don't meet a certain standard of man. Who cares what man says? Man didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. Don't let those regulations pull you into the pit of condemnation and shame to where you can't even. I mean, there's so many Christians that never have peace, and so many that think they're saved. You know, well, I think I'm saved, but I still do this, and I think I'm saved, but mama says I shouldn't be doing that, or I think I'm saved, but my preacher says this, I think I'm saved. All that stuff can just, oh my gosh, you're beat down. We're beat down. You know, our young generation, our teenage, and our 20th generation, when there's so much regulation on their lives, there's so much of a standard that they have to meet, it's impossible because they know they're going to fail. I failed as I was a saved teenager, but I still failed God. I failed. I let God down many times. I've let God down as a pastor, as a minister. Sin, I've let God down so many times with my life. But I know I'm forgiven. I know that river, that blood that continually flows, it continually cleanses me. Continually cleanses me. Even in my sin, continually cleanses me because my faith is what he did for me, not on what I could do for myself. Think about this. If we really thought, I mean, if we thought we were unsaved, every mistake we made, we'd always be unsaved. I mean, really? Because we make a lot more mistakes than we do things right. We have a lot more failures than we have successes. I mean, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. How many times you think back when your kids are a little older or grown, you're like, man, all the mistakes you made raising them. All the mistakes you made. All the things you wish you could redo. And then grandparents have it made because they can do it. They got a second chance.
That's why grandparents don't want to spank their grandkids or, you know, oh, don't be too hard on them because I was too hard on you. And you get that second chance to relive it. Well, that's good. As a whole, though, you know, grandparents are like, oh, they didn't mean it. And you're like, when I did that, you were Medea up in here. Are you kidding me? You didn't say, oh, let it go. Are you kidding me? You had me by the throat against a wall threatening my life. And you're telling them, oh, they didn't mean it. That's the difference in generations, right? But you think about all the mistakes you made raising your kids. You think about all the things. And as a parent, I think most parents feel they made probably more mistakes than they made good, you know, wow, I should have done better, I should have done more, I should have done this, should have done that different, should have listened more, should have done more with my kids, should have been more patient, you know, whatever. And we think about those things. So we're going to make a lot of mistakes, but it doesn't mean our mistakes cost us our salvation. I want to make that clear, church. If our mistakes cost us our salvation, the blood of Christ has no merit. It doesn't have any merit. What does it mean then? If I say I'm saved by grace, it's a gift from God, He died for my sins, but I better do everything right to get there. That makes no sense. It brings total chaos, confusion to our spiritual being, and we're torn all the time. And that's why you see so many long-faced Christians that feel so bad because the devil's kicking them like a mule in the rear end, reminding them how bad they are, instead of letting God remind us of how good we are through Him. So, number one, we know we're forgiven. Number two, second point, look at this. Our present is secure. Now, present starts from the time we give our lives to Jesus to the time our breath leaves our body. That's the present. This is what I'm talking about. Our present is secure. Go to Scriptures. This is Psalm 46. A very encouraging Psalms. Our present is secure. In other words, we don't have to worry about our life here on the earth if we are in Christ. Because here's what He tells us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Go to the next scripture. Therefore, look at this, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Verses 2 and 3 indicate the what if, that no matter what happens, God is our refuge and God is our help. No matter what happens, no matter what storms rise up, you get a diagnosis in your body, you get a job, you lose your job, lose your home, go through a relational issue, whatever arises, God is your refuge and God is your strength and God is your shelter. A refuge means shelter, a covering. So God is in our storm. He's in the middle of everything happening in our lives. And no matter what creates its ugly head in this rim, we can be secure that God is with us. Ride out the storm, as they sung. God's in our storm. Don't mean we ain't going to have no storms. A lot of Christians have this mentality. I don't understand why Christians go through things. I serve God. I give my tithes. I go to church. I pray. I do all these things. And bad things happen. It don't seem fair. Bad things happen to everybody. It's the process of life. Things happen. We don't like them, but bad things happen. We're not exempt. You know, we're not exempt because we're Holy Ghost filled. All of a sudden, I have no more problems, no more storms. You know, we walk around smiling like, you know, zombies, the walking dead. You know, I don't have no problems. Life is good. God is good. Yeah, God's good, but you still got some problems. Don't act like you ain't got no problems. We got storms. We got seasons of our lives that change how we feel sometimes. You know, we lose our joy. We lose our peace. We're afraid sometimes. You know, fear captures the heart of the Christian. I don't care how Holy Ghost filled we are. Fear is still real. Anxiety and stress is still real. Anger is still real. Jealousy is still real. Envy and pride and lust and all those things, they still come our way. The devil don't leave you alone because you're saved. Oh, they're too holy. I won't tempt them with nothing. No, it's going to come. And we get bad news we don't always agree with or like. But no matter what happens, the mountains move, the seas roar, God is saying, I'm your refuge. I'm your strength. Trust me. Look at what verse 5 says. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her. Our present is secure knowing God is with us. No matter what we face, we're not facing anything alone. We're not facing a death sentence by ourselves. We're not facing a divorce by ourselves. We're not facing a death of a child by ourselves. We're not facing a financial crisis by ourselves. We're not facing anything alone. Christ is in us and with us. Take that to the bank and know my present is secure because God is in my present. No matter what I'm going through. And he's not going to leave me. Just knowing God is there, you know? Just knowing God is there. It's kind of like if you're a wife or husband in the hospital, they want their spouse with them. They're feeling terrible, they're sick, they're going through a bad time. But as long as their wife or husband is sitting here with them, holding their hand, they know they're there, somehow that brings comfort. I'm not alone. You're with me. You're holding my hand. You love me. I can get through this because you're holding me. You're with me. God is with you, whatever you're battling, whatever you're going through. Look at what verse 10 says. Be still and know that I am God. No matter what we see. Church, God's not a bargaining God. That's been wrong teaching as well. We don't bargain with God. He's God, period. And sometimes we serve God out of conditions, what he's done for me lately. Well, I serve God because he's blessed me. Man, we're on that mountain. We're praising God all day long. Boy, God's good. Hallelujah. He's good all the time. Hallelujah. God's good. But then when we're down the valley, we don't hear nothing about God. We're moaning. We're complaining. Well, I serve God. He ain't, but I don't understand. And I'm a Christian. I've done everything right. Da, 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 da. Just be still and know that in that valley you're in, he's still the same God as when you're on that mountain. He's the same God when he's blessing you in the way you think he should or when you think he's not answering your prayer. He's still the same God. And he changes not. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is loving. And your present is still secure even when you're battling fear and storms and battles and doubts. God's presence should bring such security to your life to realize, God, you're with me. And I trust you that you truly know best. And I'll just rest in that and know you're God and you will be exalted over the heathen and you'll be exalted over all the earth. And all the world's going to see, yes, you are God. You are Lord. Rest in that. Go to the next scripture. This is in Romans 8, 38. I am persuaded neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. Church, if I don't secure your present, that nothing, and Paul's using words to describe any possible alternative, there's nothing ever can separate me from the love of God. Even death can't separate us from the love of God. Do you hear me? Death can't do that. That's how deep my love is. That's how founded my love is. That's how secure you ought to be. That nothing. I mean, my Lord. You think these presidents and world leaders and whoever has, you know, this security team with them when they go places, I mean, they're walking around. They got everybody guarding them. You know, they got this. They're taking the bullet from me. What am I worried about? Nothing can, you know, they've got me covered. God's got you covered. I mean, we ought to walk like this. Hey, God, left flank, I got you. It looks suspicious, Lord. I got it. I see something shiny and gray back here, gleaming in the sun. I got it. This guy looks bad. I got it. They got creepy eyes. I got it. I mean, just, you know, that's how we ought to be. God, I got it. You know, knowing nothing is going to separate. The doctor comes in and says you've got stage 4 cancer, you've got 3 months to live. That doesn't separate you from the love of God. No matter what. Charles is in prison serving several years. He's got, about five and a half years left. Oh, down to four years. Still 4 years left in prison. Prison bars doesn't separate him from the love of God. Wearing an inmate number on his back doesn't separate him from the love of God. God is in our present. He goes with us everywhere we go. He lies in the bed with us at night. He rises with us in the morning. He travels in our car where we go. He goes to our workplace. He is everywhere because he's in us. Our present is secure. Number one, your past is forgiven. And I mean forgiven. You walk in forgiveness. I'm not talking about a, you know, keep being forgiven. See, many people have the mentality that we have to keep being forgiven. You've been forgiven. Walk in that forgiveness. Number two is our present is secure. And number three is this. Our future is certain. Hallelujah. Our future is certain. Use the scripture to back it up. This is in John 14. I read this Wednesday night. Had a great message Wednesday night. Shame on y'all not being here Wednesday night. There I go, throwing that man condemnation. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. They know not what they do. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And I made this point Wednesday night, and I'll make it again. I think most of you understand this, but Jesus, of course, is not talking about a 1,600 square foot ranch house on a cloud. He's talking about a position in the kingdom. I'm going to prepare. I've got many positions. I've got many places for you to live in my kingdom. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, what good news. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again, receive you into myself, that where I am, there you will be also. That's a great certainty of our future. That wherever God's going to be at in this new kingdom, I'm there with him. He's going to prepare that place for me, for sinful me, for mistake-ridden James, for all the weaknesses that I carry as a human being. He went to prepare that place for me, that where he would be, I also would be. I'm not going to be separated from the presence of my God. I'm not going to be left dead in the grave, hopeless and lifeless, but I will be reigning and ruling and living and worshiping and praising in his presence forever. That I'm certain about. No scripture to confirm this. I love 1 Peter 1 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. An inheritance that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. God's got an inheritance that's not going to fade away. It can't be corrupted away. And it is reserved. It's fixed in time, waiting on you to inherit it. That's good news. Because this earth has a lot of problems. We go through storms as human beings. It's great to know I got a future that's going to be a lot better. You know what? All these correlate. Because part of knowing my present is secure is believing my future is certain. They correlate. Knowing that this earth's going to yield to a greater kingdom. And that this life's going to yield itself to a greater life. And that I'm not going to always be the way I am now. Pain and sickness and sorrow and trouble. You know, I think the most seasoned Christian from time to time throughout their journey has asked this question. What is really the purpose of this life? Because, man, it's hard. And, man, why are there so many problems? And you invest all your energy into trying to work all your days, and then you get sick and can't enjoy after you work. Or you work all these years, and then you still retire broke. Or you raise your kids the best you can, and they become an embarrassment, or they become something in your life. You're like, how did that happen? What happened? Or you go through a broken marriage. So many things in life that are just hard. You know, hard. Why is my child 3 years old and battling cancer? You know, why did that little girl get hit by the SUV in the driveway? You know, why did that person get, you know, shot in the schoolhouse? All the things that we can't answer. We just can't answer those questions. And life is hard. I think all of us ask, Lord, what's the purpose of this life? And I don't have an answer for you, but I do know that my future is certain, and there's a better life than this awaiting us. There's a greater glory for us to walk in than what we are walking in now. And there'll be a day our bodies will no longer have any pain, our minds will have no more sorrow, our hearts will have no more fear, because the kingdom of God will be established forever. And we will lay down this mortal and take on that immortality. And we will live in the new kingdom forevermore, glorified by his grace. I am certain about that. Go to the next scripture. Now look at this. Our inheritance, how is it kept? Once again, church, this is scripture. Our inheritance is kept by the power of God through faith. It's not kept about if I go out and mess up. It's not kept by how good I act. It's not kept by how many doors I knock on or how much I witness. It's not kept by how much I give or how much I fast. It's not kept by how much I cuss or don't cuss. It's kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, right now, our salvation, our faith in Christ has not truly been realized, but it will be in the kingdom. All things will come to an end. We'll have that end result. We'll have that Super Bowl moment where we're holding up the Lombardi Trophy. The season's been long. It's been hard. Been a lot of nicks and knocks along the way. But we'll hold it up one day and say, yes, I've received my prize in full. I'm at the end of my journey, which is really the beginning of our new journey. And I have arrived at what God said I would have. It's reserved in heaven for you, and it's kept by the power of God. God's got your inheritance. We don't control our inheritance. God's got it. If we controlled our inheritance, guess what? Once again, wiser Calvary, wiser the cross. God keeps our inheritance. To me, that is the most wonderful news, that God has my inheritance. He's keeping it because my faith's been placed in Him. Now, if this don't excite you, we'll close out with this last scripture, and this will excite you. I hope. I see four of you smiling, three of you sleeping, six of you yawning, and four of your bellies are growling. So we're going to close this out. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means die. But we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the last message, for the message will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Our future is certain. For this corruptible, it must put on incorruption. And this mortal, it must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal body has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. I want you to stay on this slide for a minute, Jeremy. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law. The law is the strength of sin. But look what the next verse says. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That ought to make everybody shout, church in this house. The victory's in Christ Jesus. No longer does the law remind us how bad we are. We already know we're bad. Now, I'm not talking about Michael Jackson kind of bad. I'm talking about we're bad. And I know we're bad. But God is good. And He truly is good. How often? All the time. Regardless of what our situation is or what we're battling, God is good all the time. And so that law stares in the face, always reminding us how short we are of God's glory. And yes, 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 we are always in our flesh short of God's glory. But here's what the blood did. The blood was a bridge that connected the shortness of my hand to the glory of His hand. And it bridged us together. So now I can cross over in the presence of God because the law's been fulfilled through the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. That's good news. Our past is forgiven. If I got another slide, that's it. Our past is forgiven. Our present is secure. And our future is certain because of Jesus Christ. Lord, if we can let folks know that, instead of them drowning, people just drain people in the church, condemn people in the church, remind them how bad they are, all they got to do to get God. We can't do enough to get God's approval or glory in our flesh. The Bible says that no flesh will be justified. No deeds of flesh will be justified in the sight of God. So we can't do enough to please God. So let's rest in what God's done for us and appreciate that and glory in that. And man, there's some folks I know. You know what? You know why Paul was rejected so much in his day? We read about it and preachers preach about it. The reason Paul was rejected is because he preached this good news. All the Pharisees and the spiritual Jewish leaders didn't understand that. You mean you're telling me we give our tithes and we fast and we do all these ceremonial things and we keep the law and we do all this stuff and you're telling me that all that doesn't matter, just place your faith in this one man? It blew their mind. That's why Paul ran out of town, because he preached the truth. Now, we can stay under condemnation all we want. That's your choice. But I choose what Romans 8:1 says. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. No more. See, I want to describe it this way. And once again, coming from the roots I came from, it was a difficult transition. And my parents even told me when I first started years ago teaching this message of true grace, that they had to think about that for a little bit. They wasn't used to hearing that, and they wasn't taught that in the way they grew up. But church, you can't deny what the Scripture says. This is God's Word. I mean, you find me anywhere that proves your point that man's got to do a certain thing to get saved. It's over and over and over in the Word of God, of His grace, of His mercy, of the sacrifice made. This is what makes the power of Jesus so powerful. It truly did abolish the wages of sin and the death penalty of mankind. It took it out of the way. We don't have a death sentence waiting on us, and thank God I don't have to wait till I get to glory to find out if I got in or not. A lot of jokes about that. I know we do it for jokes, but thank God I ain't got to wait. I've talked to so many people through the years that were on their deathbed and say, you know, I hope I've done enough to get in. I've asked God to forgive me, and I believe He's my Lord, but I've done so much. I hope I've done. It breaks my heart that they're laying there dying, tormented about if they're going to go to heaven or not because of all the stuff they've done. And they worry. Yes, you've been forgiven if you place your faith in Christ, that He has took away that penalty for you. Forgiven. Walk in that. Enjoy the fruits of your Christianity. Enjoy it. Now, I will tell you this. The Holy Spirit will always convict you of wrongdoing. And when people ask me and they come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, you know, I drink a beer here or there. I do this. Or, you know, sometimes I'll go to, you know, I might go to a club every now and then, but I don't do nothing wrong. What do you think? Well, why are you asking me? It's bothering you. Listen to it. That's the first thing you would think. If I went, I mean, Melanie told me, I went to Melanie and said, you know, Melanie said something to this person, and it wasn't that bad, was it? What do you think? And she's like, well, I mean, you're asking me about it, so I think that's your answer. Yeah. You listen to that. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you. Listen to it. You don't go out of here saying, you know what, I'm going to drink and party like it's 1999 because I'm under grace. Hallelujah. No, you're going to feel the Holy Spirit convict you. What the danger point is when we don't listen to that and we override it. That's dangerous. When God convicts you of something, people ask me all the time, you know, look, I'm going to get a tattoo, Pastor. What do you think? Well, are you convicted by it? Well, no, I think it's cool. Well, I mean, my answer ain't going to make no difference then. I wear earrings. I got long hair. Is that wrong? Well, are you convicted by it? See, understand, a person can't change or do anything different, and they got to follow their own convictions. I'm not so sure I wouldn't have long hair if I had some. I might be Fabio up here. I'm just saying. You got to go by your own conviction. The Holy Spirit will lead you. There are some things Christians do that I can't do, and there's probably things I do some of you can't do. You've got to go by your own convictions. And that's, I think, the important part. Listen to God. But you know what? It doesn't make you hellbound because you misstep. It doesn't make you hellbound. If our salvation could so easily be lost by a mistake we made, once again, where's the blood of Jesus come into it? It all goes back to that. I mean, what makes the cross so special is what it did. It abolished death. It fulfilled the law. A verse, I don't have it up here, but a verse to leave you with. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and some of you may know what it's, I think it's maybe 1 Corinthians 5, maybe. It says, him that knew no sin, Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin that we could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So our righteousness is totally hinged on Him taking our sin, not on what we do. Three things to leave here with. My past is forgiven if I'm in Christ. Now, if you're here today and you've not made Jesus your Lord, then this doesn't apply to you. This is for those of you that say, yes, Lord, I do believe you're Lord and Savior. I've heard the message. I believe you took away my sin. I believe you died to remove that out of my life. And Lord, I want to accept that and receive that into my life, that you are my Lord and Savior and that all my past has been forgiven. Play that last little song real low. Just turn it down low. I'll have you stand up with me in closing. I just want to pray this morning. For those of you that are battling condemnation, you're battling judgment, you know, you're battling negativity in your life, and you're so unsure of if you're saved or not, because everybody's told you that if you're saved, you won't do that. If you're saved, you wouldn't ever drink a beer. If you're saved, you wouldn't smoke a cigarette. If you're saved, you wouldn't say a bad word. If you're saved, you wouldn't look at a woman the wrong way. If you're saved, da-da-da-da-da-da. I want you to understand what Jesus did for you. Jesus stepped in time, left glory, to walk this earth to fulfill a law we could not fulfill. He gave His life for us. And I just want you, if you would, just close your eyes for a minute. Be reverent. For those of you in this building today that you are battling your salvation, you're not sure if you've really been saved. You've been saved so many times, you just think you can't be saved again. I want to tell you, I believe in a experience with God that as you give your heart to Him, you can leave here knowing, no matter what happens at this point on, I know I'm a child of God, and He has me. I just want to pray a prayer, and if, as you're standing there in your seats, receive this prayer into your hearts. Talk to God out loud if you want, whatever you feel led to do. But I just want to pray this prayer. For every lie the enemy has told your people here today, every lie the enemy has told them, Lord, I pray they don't listen to lies anymore. They don't listen to what man tries to teach them or tell them. They're not controlled by a man. They're not controlled by a denomination. They're not controlled by even a religious teaching. But Lord, they are influenced by what your word says. We've read scripture after scripture today of what your word says, that we can walk in forgiveness, that our past has been forgiven. For those in here today, Lord, struggling with that, they are so torn and conflicted every day about their spirituality. Let them call upon you where they stand and just say, Jesus, I believe you did die to take away my sin. I believe, Lord, that you paid a price I can never pay. I believe, Lord, you fulfilled the law that I could not fulfill. I believe, Jesus, your blood was enough to forgive my past, secure my present, and make sure my future was certain. And I give you today my heart, my soul, my mind, and my life. Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior. I believe what you did 2,000 years ago that I read about was enough forever to call me your child. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying that price. And I received that payment in my life today. And I make you my Lord and Savior, that when I leave this place, Lord, I will know that I know that I know that I am yours. And the devil's lies will have no more influence, and man's doctrine and man's teaching will no longer pull me down, but I'll follow your word and what it says, trusting, Lord, that you love me always. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray hearts be touched today, that mouths confess you as Lord and hearts receive you as Lord in this place, that we will leave not condemned, but leave justified. We will not leave in shame, but leave full of your glory. We will not leave condemned, but we will leave set free by your touch and by your love. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. Reach around and give someone a handshake or a hug. Let them know you love them this morning. Let them know you love them. Hey, brother. Y'all can be seated after that. Ushers, come on up this morning. Hey, y'all come do that Army of the Lord song, will you? Army of the Lord song. I like the long hair there, Ed. Looking good, man. Going back to your younger days, huh?
I saw your
the Donald Trump.
Yeah. I saw your 80s party, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's
wild, wasn't it?
That was pretty cool.
Let's pray over our offering right now. Lord, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you this is good news. And though many will reject it, Lord, that's okay. I preached your word today, and I preached your truth. It's liberating for those that will hear it. I pray for the offering today that every seed that is sown is blessed by your hand and that your kingdom continues to grow, Lord. And we're just a small slice, a little slither, a little piece of your kingdom here on the earth. Just use us, God, to impact those around us in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, go ahead.
And we are